Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston, and I want to welcome all of you to our very first show on Blog Talk Radio. We will be broadcasting here every Wedding Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I just wanted to give you that information. Our telephone number is 347-996-3160 if you ever want to listen in or make a comment. If you choose to make a comment, please do press the number 1, and that will let me know that you are sitting in queue to ask a question or make a comment. I first want to take a moment to thank everyone that encouraged us to start this Tribal Wisdom series and Tribal Wisdom. Your support has meant so much to us, and I did not want to go without thanking you for helping us get to this point. Some of you know, some of you may not know, that our slogan at Bridal Tribe is "From the ring to the dress and through the vows, we are dedicated to love." And this show allows us another medium to show just how dedicated we are to shining a light on love and the beauty of marriage. I also want to take a moment to thank our sponsor of tonight's show, Untangled Resolutions. Untangled Resolutions is a private practice in mediation and negotiation focusing on wedding, child support, and other services. Their slogan is "Mediate so that you don't lose your shirt or your mind," which is a good thing not to lose. I will be posting their information on the Facebook page after the show is over. So when you have a moment, please follow their page, Untangled Resolutions, to see how this company might be able to help you either in your business or personal life. I will be opening up the chat room in a moment to anyone who chooses to communicate with us that way. You can just make a comment or talk amongst yourselves. And we're just going to move on now to tonight's show. Tonight, we are talking about marriage bonds, boundaries, and beliefs. And this topic came about because the wonderful couple that we will be interviewing tonight, which is Jamal and Hanif Jordan of Touch My Closet, they revealed to me during a conversation that they married after 27 days after they met. You heard me correct, and you're probably as shocked as I was when I heard this information. And of course, going through a marriage after just knowing each other 27 days, I'm sure you're finding out a lot of new things about not just your spouse, but about yourself and how their marriage bonded, what boundaries they had, what boundaries they didn't have and found out about, and what beliefs they brought into the marriage and may have also changed during the course of this marriage. I'm very happy to say that even after marrying 27 days after meeting, they are going 12 years strong this month, I believe. They'll confirm it for me when I bring them on. In fact, that's exactly what I'm going to do right now. I want you to please welcome Jamal and Hanif Jordan. Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. We're multitasking.
I understand, and I know how you feel.
Oh, man. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. Just so happy that you guys are here, and so happy that you're willing to share your marriage journey.
Hello?
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm just happy that you guys have agreed to become a guest on the show and share your marriage journey about how you did it, like, you know, how you bonded, the things that you learned during your journey, and of course, about your beliefs. You know, we had a very brief conversation about this a little while ago. And, of course, I wanted you guys to be my first guest because of that conversation. So is it true that you married 27 days after meeting?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
you know,
yes, it is.
I can hardly get over that part. You have to.
A lot of sex.
Ooh. No.
No, just kidding. However, well, I've always been the type of person that I wanted to marry one person. I didn't want baby mamas. I don't want alimony. I don't want child support. So, and I've also been told that you never really know somebody until you live with them and marry them. Well, I've known couples that have lived with each other and not been married for years, and once they got married, they got a divorce shortly after. And I've known people who've dated for a couple of years and then lasted for 30 years, and then once the kids grew up and got out the house, they were gone. They were divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really have everything that I saw was going to be either it is or it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And once I realized that she was a person that I wanted in my life, it didn't matter how long I had known her, because the journey, we were going to get to know each other along the journey anyway. So for me, it was a matter of I found a beautiful woman who had no kids, who had a career about her, and who actually didn't want me for my money. I was broke when I married her, and that was everything that I wanted in a woman. So
right.
Most of it, yeah, I can honestly say that I was infatuated mm-hmm. when I first met her. So most people say love doesn't come until later on.
Mm-hmm.
I had the love at first sight where I knew this was somebody I would want to spend the rest of my life with.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it, I can honestly say, didn't come until after I married her, which I knew that was going to be an issue when I first started anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. As for me,
mm-hmm.
How can I put it? You know, you get used to being a certain way or dating a certain type of person. Me, I'm just going to give you the spiritual aspect of it. For me, I remember meeting him, and I believe my sister set me up all this time, though. She said that Jamal had been talking about me for about a year. He seen my picture at her house, but I didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so she invited me over for a so-called small get-together.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea he was going to be there.
Oh, the setup.
Right. So she tried to hook us up that night, but okay, my carnal self, being in my 20s, you know, I was like, well, look at his shoes. And you're going to laugh at this statement, okay? She goes, well, what do you mean his shoes? I was like, he can't afford no decent shoes. So my cousin says, fool, those are working man shoes. You better try to give something else a try. So anyhow, that night or that day that I was talking to Jamal, what impressed me is, and I'm sure many of you women can understand, sex never came up. You know, when you meet someone or they want to date you or they're interested in you, it always seems like to be the first topic or a way of a conversation. He just was interested in me.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we just kept talking, and he never tried anything. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we sat up in her mother's car
till about
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock in the morning, talking.
And that was the first for me too. I usually would.
Okay, that's enough.
I love the energy between you two. It's always so great to talk to you.
Now we didn't just meet each other that night. Well, we did.
We just met each other.
But we had known about each other almost a year before. I had always been trying to get with my cousin or
friend. Yeah.
I would always see, whenever I go over my sister-in-law's house, I would see my wife's picture, and I was like, oh yeah, y'all gotta hook me up with her. Y'all gotta, like, and everybody's like, she wouldn't like you, fool. She a woman kind of guy. I'm like, man, just let me meet her. I guarantee you, I'll pull her. And everybody was like, yeah, right. So 12 years later and some odd days, I kept my word.
He did, but I had no idea of Jamal. I seen him around in my sister's area, but I didn't know who he was, and she didn't elaborate. But I believe she set the get-together up. But when I met him, anyhow, for me, it was more that he was laid back and he was ready to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really find that. Anyhow, I just remember one day sitting and praying about it, and I said, Lord, you know, he's not my type. You know, I'll date this, and that. And I just remember him telling me, and this is for me that's spiritual. I don't know any of your callers or listeners that may not be, but this is for me.
Mm-hmm.
Told me, why don't you try something I want you to have for once?
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
With that being said, that's when I said, oh, okay. Jamal and I, we eloped, got married, and we have been together for 12 years to today, our anniversary is coming up on the 26th of this month.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Oh, don't. Oh, yeah, it is. Don't get hurt. but what I loved is we waited, you know, we didn't rush. I didn't get married because I was pregnant. No, we didn't have our first baby until 2 years after we were married so we can get to know each other. But, you know, you had to learn some things. Now, I knew what I thought my boundaries were, but I didn't know until I got married really what my boundaries were, as well as Jamal letting me know what his boundaries are. You know, it's something that you end up learning. What I've learned is how a man treats his wife is a reflection of how he sees and feels about himself, vice versa. How a woman treats her husband is the same as how she views and feels about herself as well.
Mm-hmm.
But in relationships and marriage, growth happens, and you are constantly evolving. Not either you're evolving into a better person and a better husband and a better wife, or you're evolving not so, are you stuck? And
well, you know what? Let's go back to that because that goes along with tonight's topic, which is marriage bonds, boundaries, and beliefs. And I think part of what you're saying happens to be about the bonding process, how you treated one another. I mean, you both walked into this relationship treating each other a certain way, which was a reflection of who you were at that time. What did that do for the bonding period of your marriage, like before the child, for the first 2 years?
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. Life had just happened. Kid stepped in.
I know. I'm on the phone.
I'm sorry. Could you please repeat a little bit of that?
Yeah. I was asking you about the bonding period of the first 2 years while you were married. You mentioned that how a woman treats her man or her husband is a reflection of who she is and how she feels about herself, and the same thing goes for a man and a husband. How was the bonding period for the first 2 years of your marriage?
It was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to sit here and tell anybody any lies. It was difficult because, remember, we were 27 days of just knowing each other, and I had to learn him. You have to know if you're his habits, are you going to be okay to handle that on a daily basis? Is he going to be able to be okay with handling your habits and your things that you dislike and things that he dislikes? How can you come to a happy medium?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
one of the things that we had to, I had to learn this. My wife is very meticulous and cleans a lot. And one of the things that I was taught was, as a child, was we clean once a week on the weekends. But my wife is,
I got taught different. Exactly.
Yeah, she was taught differently that, hey, everything, we need to clean up every day. Now, I'm not saying I do just leave clothes everywhere, but I'm not saying just leave the house filthy. But I would go in on the weekends. Weekends were wash day. Weekends were clean up the bathroom day, clean the house entirely. During the week, we'd vacuum or do this, that, and the other. However, my wife was taught that these are the things that we do when it gets dirty, not when it gets, we don't let it build up. And we had to work between, because and it sounds like it's petty, but if your spouse can't live in filth,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to make your life not miserable, but
yeah, that's true.
You're going to be affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to come up with a way of compromising and saying, hey, well, I can't clean every day, but I can clean up every third day or something like that. Or you do most of the stuff during the day.
And what can I do to alleviate? And this is what he helps me with. This is the thing. I clean every day. I am meticulous. I am a neat freak. But his thing is, well, what can I do to help you out? Well, how about every day for me, can you just at least take out the trash or start a load of laundry? That's going to help me. And like he said, it may sound small, what we're saying, but believe me, these are the arguments couples have
mm-hmm.
when you're married. Because what is small to some people is big to the you know, your partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband likes his clothing in his drawer a certain way.
Okay,
this is going to make you laugh. I'm such a neat freak, but when it comes to the drawers, I can care less. But it drives him crazy. So I have to come to the conclusion and say, do I not respect him and do it the way I want to do it anyway, or just learn it his way out of respect? because I'm going to want him to respect the things that I do around the house as well.
Or let me do it myself.
Either or. But, you know, so my thing is, now that we have children, you know, of course now we delegate, you know, the house chores, but prior to that, it was a hard struggle because in my mom's home, oh, no, you don't wait to the end of the week. Saturday, yeah, you wipe down walls, but you was cleaning all week.
Right.
In my husband's home, it was the weekend is when you did the majority of your work. And I wasn't used to that because I don't go to the kitchen with dishes in the sink and stuff like that. You know, I was like, what the hell did I get myself into, you know. You're like, oh, Lord. You know, but like you said, it's just coming to a happy medium. And as you're married, each year that passed, you learn your boundaries because sometimes you don't even know yourself what they are.
Right. Let's definitely talk about boundaries. When you got together and you got married, what boundaries did you have, like, right up front? Because I'm sure we did talk about that a little bit, too. There was
keep your hands off me.
Well, you know, Jamal's stuck on that one, but that's the truth. Keep his hands off, you know, cheating. Me, it's no cheating. Basically, you don't put your hands on me, but your tone of voice. And it's because of things that I went through in my past. I have an issue with a man's tone of voice with a woman. And I'll say this, like my husband's family, you know, they're just loud, right? That's where he comes from. So he had to learn to condition himself that his tone had to be different with me because I took that loudness as a disrespect.
Uh-huh.
There, you know, and he's like, I'm not being loud. I'm like, you are. And you don't have to, I mean, you don't have to talk to me that way to get your point across. But when I got to know his family more and, you know, just sitting down watching how they all interact, that's how they all talk to each other. And it's no one disrespecting no one else. That's just how they talk. But in my home, when I grew up, you watch your tone.
Right.
You know, you keep your voice at a certain level. And so that was but that's always been my boundary. And I know that was hard for my husband to conform because, you know, like I said, when he's with his family, that's how they all talk. But to me, I took it as a disrespect. I'm a woman. You talk to me in a different type of tone.
Right. So that did not, I mean, that had to be difficult during the bonding period.
It was.
Well, a lot of, honestly, for the, you know, they say that a marriage, the first 2 years is the honeymoon years. Mm-hmm. And for us, it kind of was. We didn't have real big arguments until maybe our fifth year in the marriage.
That was our first baby.
We also
too, right?
Didn't
yeah.
really know, for me, I was real submissive. I didn't like arguing. I still don't like arguing. But for me, I had to learn to speak up for myself. And my
Absolutely.
Wife actually one day pushed me to the point to where I spoke up for myself because she
I
like,
did it purposely.
She literally was like, good, thank you. I've been waiting for that all day. But I wouldn't argue with her. She'd say something that I didn't agree with, and instead of arguing, I'd say, yes, dear, and just let it go. But eventually that became, there was a boiling point where I couldn't do that anymore. And you have to, in the beginning, learn how to express yourself to your other half without seeming attackful or being aggressive. And your spouse also has to understand that what you say to someone when you're having conversations, that you're not, this doesn't have to be an aggressive thing.
Absolutely.
This can be just two people talking and getting and working out problems. One thing our society doesn't do anymore is we don't talk to each other without taking offense to everything. Mm-hmm. Everything is so politically correct. Everybody's got to be so mindful of what they say to people that everything now is seen as an attack on one's character. Mm-hmm. Or at least it's been mine.
No, and I agree with him on that. I mean, when we first got married, and I'm just going to keep it 100, I don't know about the callers need to know the real deal is, you know, as I said, my husband to me was more of a college boy, a square type person. I was more hood than my husband, period. I'm just going to keep it real with you, okay? And I had to learn how to talk to him. A lot of women's not, and I was very independent, strong, had my own money. I didn't have, you understand what I'm saying? Like, I called the shots, period. And I had to learn that I had no right to think that I can wear the pants in his house. And that took a lot for me. And he is absolutely correct. In the beginning, you know, talking. I was so upset at his meekness. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a beautiful thing for a man that is slow to anger. Women don't know how beautiful and blessed they are to have a man that way. But I watched other people run over my husband as well because he would never say anything. So one day, and I remember this day, in the car, I purposely went toe-to-toe and arguing with him for a reason because I was waiting for him to stand up for himself. And I told him after he finally did, I said, you don't allow me or anyone else to cross your boundaries like that, honey. You are a man first. You don't ever let it get to that point. And there's a way to say it. There's a way to stop it. You know, you don't have to go off and curse somebody out, but you can be firm about what you're saying. I wanted him to know that he's valuable and he's important, and not even I should be walking over him in that way. And it took me to argue. And when I say, if I told you how long that drive was, girl, for me to argue with him before he said something, you would be upset with Jamal right now. It took his ass a whole hour. I argued with him because it took me a drive to go to work. I remember I was working in Indio, California, and it took us an hour. I said, he going to still let me tell him off like this and not say nothing? And when he finally just had enough of me, I was like, good, finally, you said something.
Well, tell me this. Has that become a boundary now where you don't get to talk to him that way anymore?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely.
And even when I do, he'll check me real quick. I may not like it, but I started it, so you know, I may not like it, but absolutely. And I'm the same way. He knows that his tone with me has to be at a certain level, or I will not talk to him.
I still have the yes, dears. And again, a happy home means yes, dear, a whole lot. But I've learned that on important stuff, things that you can't, that will cause a divorce. You can't be yes, dear. And even in arguments now, you also have to know when not to argue with your mate.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm even now, there are certain things that, hey, we may not need to argue about, or someone's just in a bad mood that day, and I'll say, okay, arguing further will only escalate the situation. So I'll sometimes ignore.
Yeah, and me too. I'm learning too that's what I do, is that when I feel like he is picking or that he is having just a bad day, I'm just going to go in the room. Because like he said, it's not worth it because it'll be a deal breaker. You know, and it's true. You can say so many things sometimes that some words you cannot take back, and they can destroy a person's spirit. Because remember, when you're married, you're there to build each other up, not tear each other down. The world does that enough. And if you are out there in the world hustling and bustling the day in and day out things, and you have to come home to it too, you're going to ask yourself, why am I in this marriage? You have to love and respect each other, but also women have to allow their husbands to grow. We don't give them a chance to grow. They don't get it as fast as we do. So, yes, you may say something to your husband, but it's not going to change overnight or that day, but give it time for that seed to grow. And then you will see, you know, the manifestation of your fruit. But if you're busy bickering constantly all the time, you tear your man down to where he doesn't want to do anything for you either. This is my point. You can deplete a person so, you know, so much that they have nothing else to give. You know, I don't want new couples or even old couples to get caught up in title and in the time that you've been with someone. You have to be more caught up in the value of the love and the respect and the things that you share. Because if you get caught up that I'm this person's wife or this is my husband, and I mean title-wise, and I've been married 20 years or whatever, and you're still living in a horrible marriage, you're fooling yourself. You know, I'm with Jamal because I love him, period. I'm not staying because of our children. I'm not saying that they're not a factor at times, but I'm staying because I love him and I feel that he's worth it and that I'm worth it. That's it.
And I don't want people to think that just 27 days we got married. Out of those 27 days, we probably spent a total of, and counting hours up, 7 days away from each other. It's literally in that first 27 days when she got off work, she came to where I was, or when I wasn't working at the time. So, but we were with each other the whole time, whether she was at work or when she got off work, she came to hang out with me or I came to hang out with her. And we literally spent the majority of our time getting to know each other, getting to know each other. Now, granted, that's not enough time to know people, but I spent almost every waking minute with her trying to get to know her after we got married, before we got married, so I could determine if this is somebody that I could live with for the next 60 years.
And you were able to determine that after 20 days, you knew that you could live with her for the next 20 to 60 years?
Yeah, because I knew that love is a commitment. There's going to be a whole lot of stuff that is going to come up. She had everything that I wanted in a woman, and as long as she didn't cross the putting her hands on me and cheating, then I could deal with anything else that came up. I was strong enough to deal with it, whether it was in her past, because her past is her past. As long as she ain't robbing banks, and I'm going to have to come out the pocket. No, I'm serious. Like, some people you find out are criminals or
right.
in the past, and they got warrants and stuff. Stuff like that I can't deal with. But
right.
anything else, any other little stuff, it's something that I can deal with. If she had a old uncle in the family that was a crazy old coot that liked to fight all her boyfriends, I could stay away from him. There were things that I could do that I knew that as long as she didn't cross certain boundaries,
mm-hmm.
that I was committed. Love or marriage isn't about, okay, well, it's good today, we're good, and it's bad tomorrow, we get a divorce. Marriage is you work through the good, you work through the bad. And I was taught that from my mother and father that when it comes to marriage, I'm one of the old school people, or I was taught by old folk. My grandmother pretty much raised me, and she taught me that marriage is not something. Sometimes marriage is not all happy and fun and games, that there's things that you're going to do in your marriage that you're not going to want to do. There's things that you're going to – there's problems that are going to arise in your marriage that are going to make you want to quit, but you can't. I mean – you can, but it doesn't show weakness either. But as long as those boundaries aren't life-threatening, you made a commitment to this person. You're saying so, and when you back out of that commitment, you're saying that I'm not the person that I said I was. I'm not gonna stand up to the goals and things that I told you I was. My family in the beginning were real critical of my wife.
They're critical of everybody.
And I didn't help. I kind of didn't help, but my family was critical. And my brother used to tell me all the time, why are you with her? Like, you don't know her. You don't. And I would constantly tell him, hey, I don't give up on things like this. My brother says I wear my heart on my sleeve, and that this is just me, and it'll pass over time. But it never did.
And they grew to love me, girl, so it is what it is.
Well, you know what? Jamal said something very interesting, not in tonight's conversation, but in a different conversation when we were discussing all the bonding period and everything that you kind of found out about each other after you were married. He said, I made the choice to marry this woman. So since I made the choice to marry her without knowing everything about her, I also made the choice to stay through
Absolutely.
Whatever came up. And I thought that was a very powerful, powerful statement that he was able to, you know, aside from life-threatening situations, that he was able to say, listen, no matter what I go through with this woman, I made the choice and I'm sticking with it.
It was hard. He's absolutely right. That was a valuable point because his family and my family, we did get slack after we got married. Remember, we eloped. No one was there. So with my family, that was a big thing. Like, how dare you get married and not invite any of us, right? How much of love is it if it's so much a secret?
Right.
You know, but what we learned is his family didn't know me at all anyway. They just didn't understand why he married and got married so early. And I understand where all the concern came from, but also what we have learned through these marriages is, I just don't know how to stress this to young people that get married, or even if you're older. Please keep people out of your marriage. It is very hard for your marriage to survive if you have everybody in it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to God for some of your issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, it's not fair to change people's perception of your mate to a bad perception because that day you felt bad.
Right.
About or you didn't like them at that moment. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
My mom and him doesn't have the right to treat my husband bad. And you know why? Because they're not allowed to be in my marriage.
Right.
I want them to love Jamal because they love Jamal. I want them to have a relationship with Jamal because they have a relationship with Jamal. I want them to not like Jamal because Jamal and them, something happening between them.
Right.
Not because every time I'm mad at my husband that I go and speak to somebody about them, because you can't change what you said.
Right, once it's out.
That's something
out.
That I had to learn early, because that for my family, and we complain about it, but that's sort of who we are. But my family talks about everybody's and everybody's business, especially the older folks like to talk about the kids and what they're doing. And for me, it's families is family was everything. Like they are the ones who are going to be there for you after everybody else is gone. So I was taught that your family was everything, and hiding things from your family it's not really hiding. We tell each other everything. Certain things you don't tell them because you're embarrassed, but I would, discussing my family issues with my wife through my family was common practice for my family.
Right.
And I didn't realize, again, how damaging that can be to my marriage. I figured my family would just take it as me
venting
or just and not get involved more of and just be like, hey, I feel you, nephew, I had this, or maybe offer some advice to stay in my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But he got the opposite, and let me explain what I mean by that. I knew Jamal has a great heart, and that he probably was just talking because his family's all he's ever had. But what I told him is not everybody in your family or friends has your best interests at heart. And what I mean by that, I remember when we first got married, I think we had our first son, and we were at a family function, and Jamal was off with the fellas and I was off with the ladies. And something private that I had told my husband came up. And I was so not only embarrassed but hurt, because I felt like what I tell him stays with him.
Right.
I just couldn't believe it. I was just like pissed off. And that was a ripple effect of a whole lot of other stuff that happened in our marriage. And I remember telling the person that said, I was like, well, if he told you all this, why couldn't it just stay there? Why are you telling me, you know, what Jamal said, that da-da-da-da, but A, B, C, and D happened. I'm just like, what? I said, remember, there's always two sides to the story, then there's the truth. And how about maybe he was venting? But yet and still, a woman has to know that, because when you get married, your husband is your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know that I can go to my husband about anything, and it stays there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go to him and I have to worry about it being told to everyone else. That isn't right. And him too. His secrets need to, and they're not secrets, but his private business is supposed to stay with me. Because that's the sanctity of marriage.
Right. Well, what about a support system? I know you say that you have to keep everybody out of your marriage and out of your business, but...
Well, we all have that one person or that one couple that perhaps you talk to, and that's fine. But again...
But try to make sure that person is not a single person.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. He's absolutely correct. No single people.
Really?
Somebody who can relate to
No, I'm serious. Because if they're not married, they can't really relate to what you're talking about.
Okay.
Because a perfect example, my brother, I used to tell, and it's actually come full circle for him. My brother had a girlfriend that he knew for years, from 15 to the time he was like 19.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody thought they were going to get married and be together. And my brother would hang out with my other cousin till 2 o'clock in the morning. At certain times, when he actually became an adult and was living with this young lady, he didn't treat her as, I don't know,
as a person that's in a relationship should.
Yeah, because he would, like I said, he'd be out till 2-3 o'clock in the morning hanging out with my cousin, and my cousin wasn't very faithful, so
so of
his
course,
girl thought
right.
he was out there doing the same thing.
Right.
My brother, I would tell him, like, man, you can't do this. You live with this woman now. She's growing up. Y'all not the same person y'all used to be. And he didn't listen. And I kept telling him he's going to lose her if he didn't change who he was. Now, that doesn't mean you have to change who you are as a person, but once you're married, certain things have to change.
Yeah.
You can't walk, stay out till 2-3 o'clock in the morning hanging out with your boys and think your girl is going to go for it. Whether you're married or not, it's just not going to happen. And if you want that life, then stay single. But as a married man, and I had to learn too, like I would ask my wife, why are you tripping that I'm going out to my cousin's house at 12 o'clock at night? Because you shouldn't be out at 12 o'clock.
Girl, you better tell it. Boy, you better go and tell these people the truth.
But,
well, but guys, hold on for a second because
my brother is with a woman that is a little older. He's learning. He learned that, hey, I used to be able to come over to my brother's house anytime of day and night and no problem. Now I got to call my brother before I can't come over there. Kind of hurt my feelings, actually, because I didn't have to do that with my brother. I was like, what is this chick doing? Who she thinks she is?
And then I had to remind my husband
that
he's in a relationship.
My wife did the same thing.
To him. Right. Yep.
Well, guys, hold on because we have a caller that either has a comment or a question.
Yes.
So let me just bring them in. And the caller, the area code is 347. The last four digits are 9897. I'm about to bring you in. Hi, you're on the air with Tribal Wisdom. How are you? Caller, are you there? Okay, I guess our caller changed their mind.
Okay.
About a comment, but we do have another caller. Now, please do remember that if you call in, press 1 if you would like to make a comment or have a question. If you just want to listen, do not press anything. So I'm going to bring in the other caller now, area code 773 with the last four digits, 4094. Hold 1 second. Good evening. You're on with Tribal Wisdom.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you today?
I'm blessed. I just happen to be on a Facebook account. I'm sorry if there's an echo, if you are listening, but I just happened to be on your Facebook page, and I saw that you all are having a discussion about a couple that got married after 27 days.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, the Jordans, and they are on, too. So if you have a question or a comment, please feel free.
Okay, how in the world did that happen? If I'm late, I apologize. I saw that, and I said, I have to hear this.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to try what God wants you to try and not what you're used to. My husband and I have now been married 12 years, and when we met, I understand where you're coming from. I would have never said to anybody, girl, yeah, I met this guy, I'm going to marry him, and, you know, after knowing someone for 27 days, but I knew that it was the right thing, and this is what I was telling the host here, Cynthia, that I actually prayed on it, and I remember, you know, God telling me, why don't you try something I want you to try instead of what you want? See, I was used to, you know, dating and maybe saying, hey, wait for a year. I was with someone prior to my husband for about 6 years. No marriage, no nothing. You know, it wasn't even going down that road. But this man that I was blessed to find me, because a man truly finds his wife, we just clicked. We were with each other the whole 27 days, off and on, I think short of 5 days, not that that counts for anything, but we just knew it was the right thing for us. Honey, did you want to say something?
For me, it was, again, I almost looked at it as destiny. I had been pursuing her for a year prior to me.
But I didn't know it, just so you know.
She didn't know. I had been pursuing her for a year prior to meeting her, and I was also at the point where I had just got out of a relationship myself, and I was tired of getting cheated on. I was tired, and I had known from her sister and from her sister's baby daddy, for lack of a better word, that she didn't do the cheating. She'd actually try to bust on you if you got to cheat. I wanted someone that I knew was going to be dedicated to me. That's always been my biggest thing. As I've said, those were my boundaries in marriage. I don't do the cheating, because I know you had somebody before me, but I can't do anybody after me. So I couldn't do the cheating. I couldn't do, and I knew that I had a winner on my team. She met all of my qualifications for a woman. And when I actually sat down and talked to her and spent time with her, I knew that this was somebody that was, one, going to raise my children right, because we didn't just have sex the whole 27 days and nothing else.
Thank you.
We actually talked about, like, things that we wanted in life. Like, I want a woman that's going to raise my children. I don't want no woman that's going to have my kids with no Crip Rags or no gangbang. Like, I can't stand people who bring their children up in gangbanging. Now, if you gangbang, that's your choice. But you should want to have something better for your child. And she met all my qualifications. And, again, I knew that whatever relationships or time we spent with each other, we really wouldn't know each other until we got married. It doesn't matter how long you're with somebody before you marry them. When you marry them, things change. They now have a right to you, and you have a right to them, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just your friend anymore, or somebody who can just walk away. Marriage is a contract. Now, again, you can get it annulled in 3 months, but when you marry somebody, you're connected to them for a very long time, whether you like it or not. And if you don't take that seriously, then you should
be married in the first place. Absolutely.
But for me, the 27 days, I knew who she was or who she was going to be. And if it didn't, as long as she didn't put her hands on me, I think I could have worked through it pretty much anything else.
Wow. I mean, because my main thing is, how do you get past the whole meeting the representative and then you meet who they really are later?
That was the bonding period that we discussed.
That was exactly the first 27 days. And again, as I said, the whole, okay, you're right. Again, before you marry somebody, when you are dating, you got the nice makeup on, you got the good wig, you got the good shoes, and you never show your toes. But after you get married, you got to wake up next to that person with the wig off and the bad breath and everything like that. But I knew all that was coming. Everything is a facade until you get married anyway. Everybody's out there trying to catch until you get married anyway. So once you marry them, if that person, and again, I did know the 3 month annulment period. I counted that shit down. Like, ooh, I got 90 days. Oops, I got 60 days. Oops, I got 30. I better make sure this is it. But if it didn't work in those 30, if that person was going to show me everything that they are. Now, granted, you don't know certain things until situational issues come up.
Mm-hmm.
But that person shows you who you are within 90 days of them.
Actually, I'm going to give you guys a tip. A man shows you who he is in the first couple of hours that you meet him. It's just that most women choose not to pay attention.
Wow.
Okay? When you meet a man, he tells you who he is. He'll tell you if he's a player. He'll tell you if he's up to no good. We choose to ignore that and think that, oh, okay, well, maybe I didn't see that, and then continue to think that that person is going to change when ultimately they have already shown you who they are.
That's for women.
What I saw, but a man knows his wife the first time that he sees her. Believe what I'm telling you, because Jamal has seen me before I even saw him. I had no idea about this person, but my sister kept saying, this guy keeps saying he's going to marry you. He's seen this picture of you at our house and blah, blah, blah. I was like, girl, please. But look what happened 27 days after I met him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I agree with you. Things show up later in the marriage. Yes, let's address that. Was I shocked at some stuff? Yes. But was he worth working through all those things? Absolutely. Because I have made this commitment to this person, and I knew that I loved him, and I knew that he loved me. Now, and I knew he had my best interest at heart. Now, if he didn't have my best interest at heart, then I don't know if we would be here 12 years later. Do you get what I'm saying? You have to make sure the person that you're with still has your best interest in heart. You're still... number one, you still are feeling uplifted. Your husband is still encouraging you, as women, we do, naturally. But you have to have a man, you know, grooming his wife as well. You know, because I think I said this statement before, how a man treats his wife is a reflection of how he sees and feels about himself.
That's right.
Okay, so if he is treating you bad from the gate, though, it doesn't matter if you're married or not. If he's that's how he feels about himself, you should run.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes, things had arise in our marriage, different situations, but you know what? It made us stronger. It made us see that what we could handle and what we could not handle. And why we're here today able to give advice to other people is because we've been through some things. It wasn't all nice and you know, birthday cake and all. It was not. Did Jamal want to leave at some point in his marriage? Yes. Did I want to go at some point in his marriage? Absolutely. But our love and our commitment to each other made us stay.
And you know, the crazy thing, I hope I'm not the only caller. I don't want to take up all of y'all's time. I'll stay silent and let somebody else ask some questions. I'm sorry.
It's all right. No, thank you so much for calling in. We hope that you'll be listening again next Wedding Wednesday.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All right. All right, guys. We're coming down to the last 10 minutes. Boy, this time went fast, didn't it? But it did that the last time we had this conversation. Everything that we talked about is pertinent for some people. And I do want to say that the couples that do come on and talk about their journey, their marriage journey, and the advice that they give, every piece of advice is not for every couple.
Absolutely.
We just want you to find the advice that works for you. These couples are talking about how they are growing and nurturing and maturing within their marriage relationship. And we're just creating a community for you to come to be able to glean some wisdom from. So let's get back to the Jordans.
There's one thing that I must reiterate, especially for our sisters out there. Don't be so independent that you're going to be independent. You're going to be by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Please allow your man to be a man. I see several women at my job who say, I don't need a man for nothing. I don't want this. I don't need a man for that. But then when they go out on a date with gentlemen or men, they're like, oh, he didn't open my door. He didn't pay for dinner. He didn't do this. Well, if you want to be so independent, don't complain when they let you be independent. If you be a woman, be soft sometimes. You don't have to be defensive all the time. My mother taught my younger sister that, hey, you don't need a man for nothing. A man is good in your life, but you should
never need anyone. You should want one. Absolutely.
You should always want a man. And allow that man to be
a man.
Mm-hmm. Allow him to do things for you that might not be you. You might be able to handle it yourself, but let him do it sometime.
And the reason I'm so happy that he touched on that, I know you only got like 10 minutes left on the show, but I'm going to say this to the ladies. I was that independent woman. I made a lot of money. I had it all. I didn't need Jamal for anything. And the poor man, I mean, I damn near demasculated him the first couple years of the marriage. I had to realize that it allow him to come home and pay a bill and do this and do that. So don't get mad with your man up to the point where he doesn't pay anything because you've been doing it all this time. You have got to be the woman and allow him to be the man. I have to second that with him. And just from experience through our marriage, I had to learn to wear the dress at home. Now, don't get me wrong, in the business world, yes, you have to do what you got to do. You know, you put your man hat on and you handle your business. But at home with your husband, he is the man, and you must make him feel that way.
You said something very important, that he is a man and he should feel that way. Although I'm also aware that I've heard a lot of wives talk about that they married men who did not know how to be a man.
Well, that happened.
So
that is a part of, that's another problem that, that's a whole other show, but we have too many women raising men nowadays. Not that women, and I used to tell my female partners or companions or friends, not girlfriends, but I don't need a man. I can raise my son by myself. No, you can't. You can't show a man how to be a man. You might be able to bring him up healthy, smart, strong, but you cannot show him how to be a man. You need a man in his life to show him how to be a man. Now, you might not have that boyfriend or husband that can do it, but 90% of us have brothers, have cousins, uncles, somebody in their life. And if you don't, damn it, there's big brother out there. A man cannot be raised by a woman in order to be a man. Now, part of that, for especially in our black society, we have strayed away from that. But now it is becoming more prevalent that men are stepping up and at least attempting to be fathers in their children's lives. But because we have been absent for so long, the women are really hesitant to release those strings or
well,
release the reins.
Jamal, I'm gonna stop you right there because you are right. This is going to be a totally different topic. Because I can just almost hear some of the callers out there just breaking right now about how they actually did raise some actual wonderful, wonderful men. A lot of female callers are probably just saying your name right now. I can't wait to get back to Facebook to see what comments come up on that. But we are going to discuss that at another time. I want to pull us back onto the subject of marriage bonds, boundaries, and beliefs. We talked a little bit about the bonding process. We talked a little bit about the boundaries that you came in with. I do want to ask, were there any boundaries that changed within the relationship, and were there any beliefs? Because, you know, we all have a certain way that we think about marriage based on either our experience with our own parents, or we may have come from a single parent home. What boundaries and beliefs changed within your relationship, within your marriage relationship?
Well, with the beliefs, and just in beliefs as far as religion-wise, my wife comes from a Muslim background and I come from a Christian Baptist background. So there's a few things that men are supposed to do in a religion, I mean, in the Muslim background that, yeah, they're not so emphasized in the Christian background. So we did have to work on different boundaries as far as religion goes. We had to discuss how we were going to raise our children in a religious setting. Were we going to incorporate both the Muslim background and the Christian Baptist background? As far as our religious beliefs go, we had to determine how we were going to discipline our children. The beliefs of being a man all the time and certain things that a man is supposed to do in a marriage. Like, my wife is very adamant that men take out the trash. And I was also been adamant, well, if you want equal rights for equal pay, you can take out the trash. So, I mean, but, and it's, again, those are things that we had to work on as a couple that we needed to discuss. And when they arise, we had to discuss them. That type of stuff were religious beliefs and things like that were had to we had to discuss and change or come to an agreement on.
Well, our agreement came to, we are a Christian family, we are a Christian home. He is the head of this household, so that is what we are. As for the trash can, I'm sorry, I do not take out the trash now. That's just not going to happen.
Okay.
So I have two sons and a husband, and they all take out the trash. So I agree, yes, your boundaries do change. I actually thought that I had to do everything, and I want to make this clear, women do this. I just thought I had to be superwoman. Being married to my husband, he allowed me to relax a little bit. I didn't know how to do that. I was taught that I take care of the home front, and if I had to work, which I did work up until the marriage, up until recently, until 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that I still had to do everything. I realized that I don't have to do that, that you can delegate, and it is everybody's job to make the house run the way that it needs to run. And that probably had a lot to do with my Muslim background as well. So yes, boundaries do change as you get married, because sometimes you don't recognize what your boundaries are either, and you know, because you weren't married before. So when you get married, like, wait a minute, I don't like that, you know, and this, it makes me feel this way, and the way that it makes me feel isn't going to change. So that's when you have the meeting of the minds together to see what you can do so that everybody is happy in the situation. And again, Jamal is absolutely right. My Muslim background, and my mother was Christian, but my dad wasn't. So, yes, being raised Muslim, that's where Hanif comes from, my name. And my husband being Christian, we had to come to some agreement, but he is the head of this home, whether it was a Muslim home or a Christian home. And we are all Christians, and I'm happy that we are.
Okay. So we touched on belief, we touched on boundaries. You also said something very important to me the other day about feeling valued, about a spouse feeling valued.
Yes. A woman has, her mate has to make sure that she is feeling like a woman. I must feel valued in this marriage, or why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
If I feel like there's no need for me to be here, I'm not going to want to do anything, meaning the woman isn't or the man. It could be man or woman, whoever. You know, the wife has to make sure her husband is feeling valued as a husband, or why would he want to do anything for you anyway?
And you've got to tell your mate how to show appreciation, because
yes, because they're not mind readers. That's
I didn't understand what she meant by that. She was like, "You don't appreciate me." I'm like, "What the hell you mean? I don't appreciate you? What am I doing to not appreciate you?" I didn't understand what she meant by that. I actually had to tell her to break. What do you want me to do? Like, I'm the type of person, I can sit at the house all day and be with you and that's cool. I don't have to go out. Sometimes I do.
You're more introvert. Yeah.
But my wife, she's, you don't take me to lunch. You just take me to just spend some time with me alone outside of the house. That you show that you don't have any, you're not taking any initiative. I'm like, what the hell do you want me to do? Like, but I had to understand what she wanted from me. So you have to not just, you have to figure out what that appreciation of your wife, what that entails for her.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Absolutely, I have to feel valued. And when a woman feels valued, I'm telling you, you men out there, so that you guys know, when a woman feels valued, she will gladly submit. She will gladly submit to you. You don't even have to, you know how you hear, oh, my wife isn't submissive. And, well, what are you doing? Why isn't she that way? You know, and the Bible doesn't teach us, or whatever religion, we're submitting ourselves unto each other. That's the key point, right? So I make sure that he is feeling valued. So Jamal won't have a problem with taking out the trash, the little things that I want to do. If I'm feeling valued, as a woman's feeling very important, she won't have a problem with doing all the things that are needed. But when she doesn't, that is when you're going to get the resistance. You know, she has to feel important. Value is just so important. I mean, and a man, the way he speaks to his wife, the words that he speaks, telling her that she is beautiful, letting her know that she is important to him, gives her some value.
Right. You mentioned that if nowhere else, a wife and a husband, they want to feel valuable to each other, and they don't care about anything on the outside. You don't
Absolutely.
Care if other people value, but your husband doesn't, it doesn't make for a good marriage.
It just won't. And think about this. If the husband doesn't value and doesn't show it, what makes you think anybody else in the world will?
Right.
When you guys are out and someone doesn't see that you value your wife or your husband and sees that you treat your wife funny, don't be shocked when other people around you do the same thing to her.
Mm.
That is what you're teaching.
You're teaching people to disrespect your spouse or
Absolutely.
To treat them better than you are, which can cause a whole other set of issues.
And I will say this, and I know men and women may be like, oh, taboo. You don't value your husband when he cheats on you, you better look at yourself. If a husband doesn't value his wife, you leave the door open for somebody else to come in and take her. You have to value each other. You have to spend quality time with each other, like my husband said. And that depends on what quality time is for each couple. I may say, honey, you know what? I don't feel like you appreciate me. We don't go out. We don't date anymore. You know, so my husband, what he did is he picked a day out of every week that he takes me out on a little date, be it a walk around a park, be it a drink somewhere, but just us. You have to do that. And then if he wants me to do something that he feels, hey, I would like you to go here with me and one of my friends, that is something that I'm doing for him that makes him feel good. It's not always about, listen, when you get married, you kill selfie. Oh, this is the part I have to say.
Right, we did say that.
When you're married, you will constantly kill the selfish part of you. I want to say that again. Self will constantly get killed because that part of you has to die. Because you're no longer just about you. It's a unity. It's you and your mate.
Yeah, that took me a long time to figure out. I used to tell my wife that I shouldn't have to tell you when I want to walk out the door or where I'm going when I'm going, as long as I'm not cheating on you. And ain't too much you can do about it anyway. If I'm going to cheat, I'm going
to And that's how hard she would talk. I had to check him about that. But go ahead, baby.
But if it's... I didn't feel I had to tell her anything. Like, hey, I'm an adult. I'm going to be back at a certain... And actually, we got into a lot of arguments because I would tell her I'll be back at maybe like 2 and wouldn't show up till 5 and be wondering why she's flipping out. Like, you said 2 o'clock. I'm like, but I just... That wasn't necessarily... exact time. I was just giving you a roundabout. So I'll be home when I be home. But it didn't work.
Right. I can imagine that it didn't, because I'm certain that she felt disrespected. Because
absolutely.
You can't even do that at work when you tell them I'm coming back at a certain time and come back at another. So why would you treat your spouse any less than you would treat
your employer? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was a learning curve for him. And this is why Jamal said what he said. You know, that's when the commitment kicks in.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Because at that point, I could have left. But like, you know
right.
what? I ain't got to be, this is too disrespectful, peace, give me a divorce, do what you do, right? But that's when the commitment kicks in, because I had to allow him to grow up too, though.
Yeah, I didn't understand that that you needed to know where I was because something might happen, or you needed to know where I was just because for peace of mind, that if anything happens, you can say, hey, well, last time I saw him, he was over here. Or last time I knew anything, he was... Now, granted, those aren't the only reasons why you should tell your spouse where you're going. However, you do need to let your spouse know, at least roundabout. She ain't got to be like Chris Rock. Oh, baby, I'm getting out the car. I'm walking up the steps. I'm in the doorbell now. Oh, I'm coming in the door, baby, I'm home. No, you ain't got to do that. But you should let her know that, hey, you're going here, or if your plans change, that, hey, I'm going there, because it's more confidence. And if your woman don't got confidence in you got a big problem on your hand, because she's not going to stay. She's going to find somebody she can have confidence in.
And that's what he just said is it. That's why I said you don't want to open the door for someone to come through the back door. Either partners, you know what I mean? It just starts a whole bunch of stuff. So you have to respect each other. And like you said, if you're not going to pull this on your... Now, some people may pull this on their job, but most logical people, you want to still have a paycheck. You won't pull this with an employer. Don't do that with your spouse.
Right.
Me, and like you said, he had to learn it, which is true, because I would just tell him, hey, babe, you know, I'm over here, I'm business such and such, and I'll be back at this time.
But
he would be like, well, you ain't got to tell me.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I don't care. Like,
I used to get upset, like, wait a minute.
And she would. And it wasn't that, again, I didn't care that she was out. I trusted that when she left the house, she could go wherever she want and do whatever she want, as long as she didn't interfere with something important, like I got to go to work and the kids are at the house. You need to be home to watch the kids, especially if you know I got to go to work.
Right.
Stuff like that. Like if I'm at the house with nothing to do and you want to be out all night, I don't care. And she took that as I didn't care about her. That's not it. I just figured you're an adult. You go out and do what you want to do. Have your fun. You don't need me checking up on you.
And I had to teach him something.
And
you know what I told him? Don't you ever leave that. You always care. And you do want to know. You don't leave the back door for things to happen. That's when sin comes into play.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? You don't tell me it's okay to be out all kind of... Are you crazy?
Oh, and I also told her, don't ever put so much trust in me that...
Any man, you told me.
Yeah, especially with me. Don't ever let me feel so comfortable that I can do whatever I want, because I'm going to do it. And
that's when I first married him. I think, you did tell me that. You
told
me,
like, hey, you might not think it never happens. You might... I might show you that I'm the best guy in the world, and yeah, I'm going to try my best to stay on what we do, but don't ever give me that much. She would tell me, oh, I trust you. I was like, she would blatantly just say, I give you blind trust. I told her, don't ever blindly trust any man, and that includes me, because you set yourself up for failure. Now, I'm not saying go through his pocket.
I know what he meant, though. Let me render. I know what he meant, and he's right, and I got corrected when we went to counseling, and yes, to the callers and to the listeners, you should do counseling. My trust was supposed to be in God, that he would do the right thing. The minute you put all your trust in the man, so forth, you leave the door open for things. And I didn't get what he was saying. At first, I took offense when we first got married. He sat me down and told me this. I was like, well, what kind of man would tell you? You know. But then I got it later, and I respect him for that, because
mm-hmm.
he didn't have to tell me that. Most men ain't going to tell you that.
Right. Well, guys, I'm going to wrap up
the
show. Well, yeah, we've actually gone over our time, which is fine, because we always do. we always do with these talks, so it's not surprising to me. But I definitely want to say I liked how you guys ended it. What you said basically was there has to be compromise, there has to be communication, but never compromise trust and never forget to communicate trust with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank Jamal Hanif Jordan for being on the show, being on our first premiere show at that, at Tribal Wisdom, and for everything that they shared about their marriage journey. I just want to say again that I'm thankful for all the callers that called in, everyone that commented, everyone that was in the chat room. And I just want you to remember that we are Bridal Tribe and we are dedicated to love. We will see you next Wedding Wednesday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You have a good night. Thank you.